Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Space, the final frontier.
These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds.
Enterprise.
This is Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Captain Janeway.
Captain Sisko.
This is Captain Jonathan Archer.
Red alert.
Photon torpedoes, fire.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Engage.
Make it so.
With your host, Jordan Hoffman.
That, sir, is illogical.
And to make sure history never forgets.
This is Engage.
Failing frequencies open, sir.
Yes, and we're back. Hello, everybody. And welcome to the next edition, the next episode, the new episode of Engage, the official Star Trek podcast. I am your host, Jordan Hoffman. Thank you for listening. Follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. For the love of Kalis, go to facebook.com/Engage official Star Trek podcast. Tweet at us. Tell us all the things you want to know. I'm at Jay Hoffman, at Jay Hoffman, at Jay Hoffman. For the love of Surak, tweet at me. And for the love of Kalis, go to Facebook. Three quick announcements before we begin today's show. Number one, if you remember last week, I said that we were going to do part two of our Star Trek gaming episode with our special guest Frito, and we preempted it last week because we had special guests Adam Nimoy and Iris Stephen Bear, and we bumped it a week. So don't worry, it's coming next week. Well, guess what? We're bumping it another week. How do you like that? Because we've got another special guest, and time is of the essence with the new guest. The other show is wonderful, and it's in the can, as we say. So let me beam in our guest.
Wait. My shoes are missing.
Materializing before my eyes, the very handsome, the very elegantly dressed, Paul Feig is with us. Paul Feig, writer, director, actor.
Thank you.
Flaneur.
Beloved internet character.
Paul Feig is here. And once again, he is very elegantly dressed. Just in case an emergency Wes Anderson film should break out.
I'm ready.
You can step in.
I'm ready.
You're ready to go.
Exactly.
It is true. That's part of your thing. I mean, you've got a matching pocket square and a beautiful tie with... What are those designs on that tie?
They're part of the Illuminati. If I told you, I'd have to kill you.
It's really nice because for a guy who made a movie in which a woman voids her bowels in a sink,
I'm always classy. It's called high and low,
right,
Jordan.
Exactly. Well, we're happy to have you here because it's exciting times because in addition to being the writer director of some of our favorite films, including, which I just referenced, Bridesmaids, The Heat, Spy, Ghostbusters, the co-creator of Freaks and Geeks.
Creator, yes.
Schmucks like me say co-creator, and that's not true.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
I couldn't have done it without Judd, clearly, because you know he had the power, and he's amazing. I created it, sent it to him. He loved it, and then we made it.
I like this. I just got schooled. I just got schooled here,
man,
on Deck 44.
Exactly.
All right, I'm going to change all my old...
Getting that phaser.
Change my old diary entries to scratch out co and just put it... Well, so, so it's an exciting time, and he's here because he has a project which is of paramount interest to Star Trek fans.
Hear, hear.
I know this because as the host of the Star Trek podcast, I watched the bulk of this thing, not all of it. I want to stretch it out.
Good.
And I'm like, my God, this is amazing. But before we get to that, oh God, I can't even read my own handwriting. Yes, there's one other thing I got to mention, Star Trek fans. There's something happening on StarTrek.com right now. It's March.
Ooh.
March
Madness.
There you go, March Madness. We're doing a March Madness bracket for favorite Star Trek episodes. And it's done... I don't really know too much about... I don't really follow college sports.
Yeah, no.
If I were going to follow sports, it wouldn't. Why would I dick around with the college?
I know. Let's go right to the pros, right?
Yeah, exactly. Those kids should be in class.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know much about college sports. I know there's seeds and there's things like this and a bracket.
Oh,
so
we're such nerds. Right? We know nothing about sports. There's,
I know. When I see the jocks, I go, oh, he's going to put me in the locker.
That's
I don't want to go
think
near him. So anyway, but if you follow college sports and this alleged March Madness, the madness has been moved to Star Trek. So for the month of March, we're doing our seeds and our brackets, and you can vote right now. So the first, what do they call the bracket on the, you know, right?
Not me.
I guess I don't even know what you'd call
what do they
that.
Call the
first
section?
For,
the
match
quadrant?
Up? Matchup?
Well, no, it's like, no. It's like a quarter. Well, anyway.
We are so earning our Star Trek stripes.
You go
right
to
now.
StarTrek.com and you can vote for what is in this conference, right? In the section? League?
Division?
Division!
There we go.
That's the word.
Well done.
That is the word.
Only took us 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's in that division. Well, just because you happen to have a thesaurus on your desk. All right, you can go to the division and vote for what they have there, and then you come back next week and the next week and blah, 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 and then you see what the big winner is. Do you have a favorite episode? When you think of Star Trek, is there one that just...
You know what my favorite episode is? Yeah. The last one I've watched. Oh. Thank you so much. See how political I am? Vote for me in 2020.
It's very nice. Well, and there is a nice sprinkling of all. It's not all original series and Next Gen. There were a few key Enterprise ones in there, but, yeah, you know, we're going to see what ends up in the final four, as they say.
Here.
So that's what I needed to mention was that. Now, the other thing... Close the book on that.
Wow.
Okay, so the other thing I needed to mention is Paul Feig is here because something very important has happened. Now, as you know, a lot of times, great organizations in the arts, like the Museum of Modern Art or Lincoln Center, or what is the Los Angeles equivalent to those places?
We've got the L.A. County Museum.
All right, that sounds good.
Yeah.
It sounds a little generic, but I'll take it.
Well, you know.
So places like that will have... they'll make a big announcement. We have uncovered, there was a lost, Orson Welles' lost film has been sitting in a vault in Seville, in a prison somewhere.
A nitrate film, ready to explode.
And we have uncovered it, and we've remastered it, and we're going to have a big gala event, and we're going to represent this lost film to the people who deserve it. And it's always a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either things are happening now, or things are lost and in a vault somewhere. Mm. But what about the things that should have been a success that are recent?
And they were right under your nose
right
the entire time.
Under your nose, but due to corporate cockery and just general bad marketing can sometimes get lost.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to take us back to the year... 2015.
Do you have a sound effect for that?
I think I probably do. Hold on.
He's looking at the board.
I'm looking at the board. Well, first, let's. Should we go to 2017?
Make it so.
Okay, so we're going to go back to 2017.
Wait, we're in 2017.
Oh, sorry. We're going to go back to 2015.
Oh, boy.
Here comes.
Working.
Okay, so we're going back. All right, I'm joking around. In 2015,
yes,
you did a great project that you're very proud of.
Yes.
And for reasons that I'm kind of curious about, no one heard about it.
Yes.
The project is called Other Space.
Mm-hmm.
It is a short web series. Do I call it that?
Yeah, it's a web series, but I mean, they're full length episodes.
Yeah.
They're half hour episodes.
They're half hour episodes. There are 8 of them, so you can binge it in 4 hours, which I did not do because I was watching them all and I said, ho, hold on. This is really good. I don't want to gorge on this. I'm going to stretch it out.
Yes.
And it came out in 2015, and I only heard about it a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Why? How is this happening? What went wrong? What went wrong in this project that is so very good?
What went right? Making it was great. Let me take you back. Actually, can I take you back another 10 years?
To 2007?
Button that for that? Actually, no. Take me back to 2004.
Okay. We're just going to teleport us back.
Here we go. I found my shoes. There we go.
All right.
And
it's a long one because we're going back 10 years.
Yeah, okay. I'm a tall guy. Yeah. So I, in the years after Freaks and Geeks, was trying to develop shows and just couldn't get anything on the air. But he wanted my voice, and yet I turn in a script and go, oh, we don't want this voice. So it got bad. But I developed this show. I wanted to do a sci-fi show because I love sci-fi, but all sci-fi comedy always made fun of sci-fi, and I wanted to do a funny sci-fi show that actually likes sci-fi. So wrote this thing, Other Space, for NBC, where I had a deal at the time, and they really liked it, but then they were like, we don't know what to put this on with. And it was a single camera show. And they said, well, you need to make it into a multicam, which is like, okay. But I was like, okay, well, Red Dwarf and those things did it. And they were great. And they were multicam, basically, without an audience. So I can do that. So did it. Again, they read it and they're like, we love it. We have no idea what to do with this. We can't program it with anything. Because in the old days in television.
Right. It would be on TV.
Yeah.
You would watch it on TV.
Exactly. And it had to match things around it because right. It used to be you would just turn on NBC for the night and you just sit there and never get up, which I don't think anybody ever did. But that's it was always programming.
That was always the idea. It's like, I'm a fan of show A and what else is in this lane? I'm an NBC guy.
Me, I'm going to spend the night.
Me, I'm an ABC man. That's exactly. More to my liking.
See?
Well, get out of my house. This is an NBC house, goddammit.
Exactly.
And
wars were started. Murders took place.
Well, I mean, that really started in the 70s, I think, with the Mary Tyler Moore, MASH, Newhart. Was that what it was? It was Newhart?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. CBS. It was, you got Newhart, Mary Tyler Moore, Carol Burnett. There's a couple of others.
And MASH. And it was like kind of all in the same...
Yeah, it was the greatest night of TV, or, you know, even NBC, you know, in the 80s.
Right, they had the Cosby Show, and then Family Ties.
And then Night Court.
And then Cheers. And I think Night Court was last.
Yeah, exactly.
Let the record show.
There you go.
But again, those are sort of similar things. But that doesn't, to the kids today, they don't know what the hell we're talking about.
I know, exactly. Yeah. We just sound like a bunch of old dudes. But so, basically, they like, we don't know what to do with this, so that's it. It's gone. So, but what happens when you develop something for a network, they still own it.
Right.
And so this was owned and it was sitting basically in a vault for years.
That's got to be a little bit frustrating.
It was really frustrating because I really loved it. And I knew we could make it funny. I knew it could be good the way I saw it, not as a multicam, but as like a, you know, real show. So flash forward, we're doing The Heat. And I just would always kind of check in with my lawyer and my agents about it. And then just got frustrated one day and said, like, what? Can I get that back? And just happened that my lawyer called up and it turned out that it was just time where it reverted back to me.
Let me back up for a second. I would imagine if a guy like yourself who was very prolific and doing a lot of high profile things had a lot of things in development, and always do have a lot of things in development at different companies all over the place.
Totally.
But was this the one that was like, if I could just get this one particularly,
because
it's so weird and so...
So
very singular in its vision.
Yeah.
And that was the one that you feel like, if those other guys sit in a vault, they still pay me every now and then. It's fine. Let it sit there.
Because the other ones were more kind of character-based, where I go like, I can pluck those kind of archetypes out and put them in some other situation.
Right. Okay.
But this was... The situation was what I wanted back.
I see.
You know, which is, you know, a spaceship that gets lost. Look, we've seen that before, obviously. Right. But just, I knew it could be something really fun. And actually, I got goosed on it like a couple of years before I got it back because I was going through old scripts with, I had a new assistant at the time. And I just gave him a bunch of stuff to read to just kind of know what I'm working on. Yeah. And he came and said, like, I love this Other Space thing. He says, why don't you make that? And then I was just like, I can't get it back. But but I kind of put it back in the front of my brain.
So you call the guy and they said, well, guess what? The rights are available.
They reverted back totally. So then there's like, let's get this made. And we were going into, we were just starting to prep Spy. So I was actually in Budapest prepping this giant movie. And we got a call that Yahoo wanted to put real money into like some TV shows. They wanted to start this thing called Yahoo Screen.
Right.
And they were, you know, there was real money to make it the way it needs to be made. So I said, let's get it made over there. And they went for it. But then it was terrifying because they said, like, if we do this, we want to launch this in April. But we were just going into production on this movie. It meant that we were going to have to be in production on this big TV show while I was trying to edit and do post-production on Spy. But my producing partner, Jesse Henderson, we kind of looked at each other and was like, let's do it.
It's now or never.
Why not? Yeah, totally. And so we did. And we got Owen Ellickson, who was a writer on The Office. And he came in to meet with us because I wanted somebody to be the showrunner, to run it every day and head up the writing team. And he just was great. And like he totally got it. So I was like, Owen is the king. And we put it together. And we went and we shot this thing, shot 8 episodes we didn't even have a soundstage. It was in the back of the valley.
I do want to ask about the set and all that. But so I would imagine it was a fairly low budget situation.
Yeah.
Especially coming off of, as you say, Spy.
Yeah.
Which I believe had Jason Statham zipping around on what is he? He's left forever. Like his car, he's on the jet ski forever. Like
he has. He takes the boat actually.
Boat. Yeah. He's still in my head. He's just floating around the lake. He can't get
trying
out.
To get out of the lake. Right. Trying to get the.
So that movie has big budget.
Yeah.
Set pieces.
Yeah.
And this, I would imagine, is significantly smaller.
Much smaller. Yes. And with, really great crew, but sort of like a lot of people who, you know, were either newcomers or people, you know, taking a shot to go to the next level, you know, to try out to be a department head that they didn't normally do. So
right,
it's great.
Right.
It was a really great kind of farm team sort of situation in front of and behind the camera. And, So we made it. Oh, yeah. But we didn't have a soundstage. There's a medical bracelet and tag company that had gone out of business in the back of the valley, and they had this giant warehouse. But it wasn't big enough. So our amazing production designer, Michael Gallenberg, who did The Office the entire time, made our set work around these other offices and hallways. So it was a practical thing, but it was built kind of into a real place. But it was
where
supposed to be a spaceship.
Where they used to make and then sell medical bracelets.
Yes, exactly.
So like maybe one day, like some of the actors are taking some time off, they're just wandering around, they find some old closet, be like, hey, I found epilepsy right here.
About it.
Wow.
When you walked in, there was a giant art mural in the lobby that told the history of medical bracelets.
Wow. Okay.
So I can tell you a lot about that.
I would imagine that they everything. So well, the main set, I mean, there is a lot of Star Trek in the DNA of this. I mean, as with Galaxy Quest, which is the other.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I mean, most Star Trek fans, and we had Dean Pariseau, the director of Galaxy Quest, on this show. Mm. And that movie has been fundamentally embraced by all Star Trek fans. Because, and that's what I love about Other Space, is that it clearly loves Star Trek.
Yeah.
It also clearly loves Doctor Who, really loves Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
There's a lot, Art and Marvin the Paranoid Android have a lot in common.
Yeah, exactly.
Although Art, your robot, he's not a robot, he's a person who died.
He uploaded his brain. No, he didn't die. He uploaded his brain and then killed himself.
Right, well, he had to do a proof of concept to show that you can upload your brain into a robot. So he lights himself on fire.
Right.
But then his company fails because he realized that the market really demands elbows.
Yes, exactly. It was one fatal flaw in the designing of that robot. Right.
And when you first meet Art the robot, A-R-T, he's in sleep mode.
Yes.
And when somebody accidentally wakes him up, he says, hey, come on, I was dreaming of electric sheep.
Well, we run deep on this one.
That's a nerd. That's a nerd.
Our nerdery runs
deep.
That
was pretty good.
And if you don't know, you know who voices Art.
Tell me who does.
Is Trace I can never say his name. No. Trace Beaulieu. Beaulieu. Crow T Robot from... from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Whoa.
And then his sidekick is Joel Hodgson.
Joel Hodgson is the, he plays, for lack of a better term, he's the Scotty on the ship. He's the chief engineer.
Yes, exactly.
He and Scotty have very little in common in their work ethic.
Well, his brain has been addled by lots of radiation over the years.
So he's kind of a stoner. Well, you know, there's a moment when the team encounters some sort of nebulous alien force, and their greatest, as one has happened on Star Trek, their greatest dream and visions in front of them, and his dream is to find a tuna fish sandwich on the floor.
Exactly.
So that shows you where his head is at. So there is a lot of Star Trek DNA just on elements that are not even just references, just in the set design of the ship. I mean, the captain sits here, there's a semicircle, there's the first officer over here, and that, whether you realize it, were you specifically saying, well, on Star Trek it has to be like this?
Yeah.
Or was
this
like, this is...
No, we reference it a lot because it's the if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of concept, you know, because it's just a great layout, and we wanted to have fun with those relationships, not make fun of it, but have fun with the relationships. And so there's just the way that's laid out is great, with the captain just kind of in the middle swiveling around, and then he's surrounded by his crew, and then he can kind of swivel around and bark out orders to everybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was like we never considered doing it a different way, really.
Yeah. Your captain isn't so much bark out orders as just... Jason was like, kind of, well, do you think?
He tries to be fair. Right. He's a people person.
He really is. He's the least decisive captain there is. Because he's very nice. He's very sweet. Yeah. He does not deserve to be the captain. That's kind of the shtick. But his older sister,
yeah,
who really should be the captain,
and
is
really
the first,
wanted the job.
And one of the jobs, she's the first officer, and it drives her crazy, and she is hilarious. So, but we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. So you shoot the project, Yahoo Screen produces it, distributes it, and it kind of doesn't really... What happened? What brings us to today?
Let me take you inside showbiz.
Okay. Wait. We need to work. Hold on. We need to... All right. We're going inside showbiz now.
There you go. Okay. Now, let me preface this by saying Yahoo was amazing to put money into this and let us make this. So I will always be very, very grateful to them.
So they did the first part
They did the first part right. And they really supported us through production and let us do our thing, did not interfere with us creatively at all. So they were great. But when, take us back to Budapest, when I was first just starting to do this, I kept saying to them, I said, I want to do this with you guys, but you have to promise me that we are going to market this for real. I mean, outdoor marketing, you know, with billboards, everything. You got to go crazy with
this. There's a lot of material out there.
Totally.
People need to know.
And this is the first show I've created since Freaks and Geeks, you know, and I just wanted it to be a big thing. And I love alternative ways of seeing things. I've always said I'd rather have the first scripted show on QVC than to get a show on NBC because, you know, you go in with, there's a new energy at a new place and they're more experimental. They're not, once they get successful, they start to go, oh, well, this is the things that work for us, and they get much less, you know, open to trying new things. So I said, I'm so excited to do this with you guys. We just got to give us real marketing. Yes. Of course. Well, so we finished the thing, and we're in this meeting, kind of marketing meeting, and suddenly I realize that's not going to happen because what they wanted to do, and as any corporation would want to do, they had some kind of like new algorithm they wanted to work out, and so they wanted to only advertise it on Yahoo.
So they plugged in Marketing Bot 3000 and it said the way to make this.
Yes, totally. There's some algorithm like this will spread it all over the internet, you know, but it has to go only through Yahoo. And
that doesn't make any sense because if you're already on Yahoo, you're going to know about the show because it's going to be a Yahoo thing.
That's what I thought. But
you know what it was?
Better minds than I did not agree.
Let me tell you. You took me inside show, but let me tell you inside stupidity because I know a lot about it. There was some schmendricks in the sales division that weren't making their numbers that month. And they said, give us the ad buys for our own show and we won't get fired and we'll take you out to lunch. And they said, all right, we'll work it out. So all the ad buys stayed in-house.
I like this.
And then everybody, you know, this was depleted, but then it was up again.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, unless you were already getting your mail at Yahoo, which a lot of people don't do anymore, you weren't made aware of other space.
See, and that was my frustration is I love Yahoo, but I'm kind of like, do people use Yahoo as much as they used to?
Yeah, listen, we all need to know what the weather is. And so sometimes we go to Yahoo and find out. I mean, it's not a...
Right.
You know.
But then when you go, I'm gonna dig around and try to find a show that might be on here
that I've never heard of. It wouldn't be. Which isn't to say that it couldn't be.
No.
Who would have thought Amazon was a place where you bought socks in the middle of the night they're distributing award-winning films.
They're winning Golden Globes.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's ridiculous.
Here's the thing, though. We were packaged in... This will help maybe with understanding what they did also, as I'm trying to understand it myself, is Community was their big buy. They bought the first season off network of that. And so that was going to be like, that's going to lead the charge. That's going to bring everybody here. And then once they come to see that, they're going to see other space. And then there's another show they did called Sin City Saints, which was about a fictional basketball team. And but even with the Community, they advertise it, but they didn't do as big of a push as I think they could have for a show that had that much interest and people were so excited about the fact that it was coming back on this platform. So it just all kind of went into it not getting out there.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, we couldn't get reviewed. Like, we got reviewed by about 10 different places. 9 of them gave us the most amazing glowing reviews. You know who gave us the shitty review?
Was it the Yahoo TV?
No, that would be hilarious. No, it worse than that. It was the New York Times.
Oh.
So the one place where we actually got some stuff, they excoriated us. And everyone else, they're the most glowing reviews. We have like we're 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Do you remember who was the critic of the
I
thing?
Don't. All right. I've phased them out of my mind. Some mean person.
That building's only a few blocks away. We can go over there and
there you
make
go.
Them watch the show again.
Rub my butt against it. Exactly. I love the New York Times, though.
Their reporting is great. But when they review science fiction comedy on a web platform, they're terrible.
Exactly. It's the one thing they know.
Right. Their overseas reporting is dynamite. Their coverage of the president is fabulous and everything else.
Exactly. Exactly.
Just want to throw in one thing that I am one of those people that watch Community and found out about the show from it, and I did watch it. So it worked on someone.
Hey!
But then you hated it, right?
No, I liked it. I don't remember a damn thing anymore.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Well,
see? Then it worked.
So now that brings us to today, is that at some point between the release of those 8 episodes, and was it released all at once, or did they string along? Okay, so it was a binge watch available.
And they actually wanted to string it along, and I said, do it as a binge watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it came out in 2015. And between then and now, like literally a month ago or so, you were able to say, look, I love this thing. I've been carrying it around in my heart for so long. I'm going to buy it back. The rights are now with me. Mm-hmm. And you own the thing now. Mm-hmm. And because you are a beneficent and beautiful man,
yes,
not just because you wear a matching tie and pocket square, but because you are a wonderful man, pure of heart.
Thank you.
You are making the show available for free.
For free.
And also easily accessible. Doesn't matter if you live in Canada or Brazil or anywhere.
Un-geo-blocked now.
That sounds like something out of 1984, but I like that. Double un-geo-blocked.
There you go.
And I'll tell you how I watched it. If I use a Roku, right?
Oh,
which is like if the Amazon Fire Stick. I went to my Roku. I went to the search button. I put in other space. And it showed up like that.
Really?
I don't know how the hell I was watching it.
Really?
It was free. No commercials. One right after another. It was fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Because, we also have a website set up called ShareOtherSpace.com.
You could also go to ShareOtherSpace.com, and you can watch it on your laptop. You can plug it into your Apple TV.
Free.
HDMI.
It's free, people.
It's free. It's 4 hours, and it's really, really funny. And if you are a Star Trek fan, it's doubly funny.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Engage.
Engage.
The official Star Trek podcast.
Energize.
The very first sentence of this show is hilarious. It starts... Space, right? Stars, Starfield, and a crawl, because all science fiction epics have to begin with a crawl.
There you go, exactly.
And the first sentence, I'm not going to get it verbatim, but it was like, the year is blah, 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 and the war between the United States and Switzerland has ended.
Exactly.
So that is, I would say, fairly indicative of the kind of nonstop peppering of ludicrousness and just... The zings are nonstop. They really are. So what I want to do with you, if you don't mind, is if just give us a rundown of the cast, of the crew. The crew and the cast.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about these characters and why you decided, you know, how you built the crew of the of this. Yeah. They're a star charting ship and they're called what's the name of the space agency?
UMP. It's the Universal Mapping Project.
Right. And so UMP is down in the dumps because they are only finding rocks.
Right. So. It's basically they were going to be this very sexy organization that was going to map the entire universe. So they sent all these spaceships out, but the whole goal of it was to really start a network that aired all of this so that you would kind of watch all this stuff happen, watch them discover all this great stuff. Well, years and years have gone by and they haven't discovered anything except rocks.
Right, right. And as a result, they have all this merchandise just of
stacked up. Nobody wants
sweatshirts
mugs.
And mugs and ball hats and keychains, and nobody's buying them. So it's desperate times over at UMP.
Exactly. And so to sexy up the thing, they decide, let's get like a really young crew. And what you kind of find out as it goes along is they actually wanted a fairly incompetent crew so that they you could follow their exploits right. and them screwing up. And so they recruit Stewart, who is played by the amazing Karin Soni. If you've seen Deadpool, he's the cab driver in Deadpool.
Right,
and he's
yes.
in the, he's the delivery guy in Ghostbusters, and he's one of the most talented comedic actors I've ever worked with.
He is a very unique performer. I
very
was
much
when
so.
We were talking before. I was trying, like he does this thing where he's very like insecure and mousy, and then a fraction of a second later, he's like chest out, mm-hmm. tough guy, and then he's mincing back again.
Yeah,
and it's just hilarious. It's really just hilarious to watch, especially as a center seat of a captain. Like he's.
Right.
He's in the Captain Kirk position, and there's just this weirdo in there. It's just beautiful to see.
Oh, thank you. And right. he's super smart, because like the first time we meet him, we think there's a problem going on. You actually find out it's, it's a training situation.
Well, it's the fans know it as the Kobayashi Maru.
There you go.
Right.
See,
the Kobayashi Maru is how you meet the character.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly. And he's the only one ever in the history of training to solve this problem that happens. And so because of that, they decide they're going to make him the captain. Of the ship. But then, yes, he has his sister, Karin, played by the amazing Bess Rouse. And she, her whole life, has wanted to be a captain. She's been training for it. It's always been a given that she's going to be. She's the top of her class. And now she's going to be second in command to her brother, who she hates.
Her younger brother.
Yes, exactly, who drives her crazy. Yeah. So she does not take it well. She is a bit of a hard ass,
yeah,
anyway.
And she's angry and very, very entertaining.
Yeah.
Just, and, of course, the only smart person in a room full of idiots. So she is just, you kind of see the show through her eyes a lot of the time.
Yeah,
because
totally.
You're like, duh, of course. And she's the only one who gets it, and everybody else is just doing ridiculous things.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly. And so then Michael is Stewart's best friend from childhood, and he brings him along to be his third in command.
Right.
Which he always thought he was going to be a second in command, and so he keeps getting demoted.
His lifelong dream was to be second in command.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And Eugene plays him. Eugene, actually, who plays him, is actually in the new Kong Island movie, too.
Oh, wow, so, awesome.
I know.
Well, what's funny is in the second episode, there's a scene which is reminded me a little bit of the scene in The Thing where they think someone is an alien and they have to do a test on everybody.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of testing everyone to see who an alien is. And so when it comes to Michael's moment and they want to find out if he's human, he says the most ridiculous thing. He says, well, I really love saying chocolate, but I prefer eating vanilla.
Exactly.
And I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
We wanted Michael to be the most boring person ever to walk the earth. He likes water. Right. His favorite drink is water.
Right. I like listening to music.
Exactly. And he's so funny. My
yeah.
God.
So he's on the ship also.
He's on the ship also. And then there is Tina.
Yes.
Who is played by Milana Weintraub.
Yes.
I'm sure I'm saying her name wrong.
Yeah. Well,
sorry, Milana.
She's not listening.
Who you may know as the AT&T girl.
Right.
But she's an amazingly gifted comedic actress. And she is only on the ship because Stewart has had a crush on her forever. And so he decides if he can lock her up on this ship with him for a year,
yeah.
then she's, of course, going to fall in love with
and
her.
And she's so... And him. The thing is, she's not like a... you know, like a busty blonde bombshell. You
right.
know, she's like just a very approachable.
She's Marianne from Gilligan's Island.
Ah, there you go. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but I think, you know, we can psychoanalyze people who like sci-fi and sci-fi comedy, but, you know, I think that is to a certain extent that. Mm-hmm. The dream. Those are the women that always get harassed anyway. The
oh,
ones
no,
that are a little more approachable.
Of course. Oh, yeah, of course.
And so she's...
So she's the navigator.
Right.
And
yeah,
she's
yeah.
a terrible navigator.
And likes to start trouble also.
Yeah.
She's, you know, she likes it when other people fight.
Totally.
She takes the egg on a little bit for entertainment.
Exactly. Because yeah. she had to be separated from her boyfriend who she was desperately in love with.
Right.
And then that... kind of goes on the riots, the skids.
And
there,
you created something. It's kind of like a communicator, but it's for kissing.
Yes, yeah. It's got that sensation, kind of motion program in it,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
So you can actually, it's just this piece of glass, but you can make out with on the
right.
glass, and you and the, your other person far away makes
and
out.
What's great is that the special effects are very minimal.
Yes.
So it's basically she's just like tonguing a piece of glass.
We just thought we were rigging up all these props. I said, like, just give them a clear piece of glass so we can see them making out.
That's very interesting.
Very proud of that. Yeah, and so then we have our science officer,
yes,
who is the most awkward man in the world, yeah, played by the god among us, Neil Casey,
yeah,
who is one of the funniest people I know.
Yeah, very strange character.
Very strange. I mean, and so much of that oddness and that weird verbosity is Neil. I mean, he's just like a wordsmith, and he just embraced that character so funnily. And you find out a lot of things about his character as the thing moves forward.
Yes,
there's a few surprises.
I'm still midway through, but I know that I know one of the big reveals.
You know the big,
already,
yeah, exactly. So that's, but I won't give that away.
No, please don't. Then there's the computer.
The computer.
It's just a flat screen TV.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. We're hoping if there's more episodes that they might actually develop some holographic.
Oh, okay.
So she could actually walk among them.
When you shot this, my guess, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you had a flat screen TV up, and then the actress playing her was like,
she was in a different room.
In a different room with a camera on her so that she could react. Because a lot of it is, although it's scripted, it gives the impression of being improvised, which I'm sure is, you know, it's always like a little bit improvised. Not, you know,
like,
I don't know.
Like
how
a looseness. I mean, we have amazing scripts, and we were on such a tight production schedule that there wasn't a lot of time to go far afield. But I always just encourage them to just make it your own. I mean, obviously we have the script, but just be in the moment. And that was the biggest thing, like with Art, you know, the robot, I wanted to make sure everything was happening at the time. Because they're like, oh, we can put his voice in later. It's like, no, I want Trace to be off camera,
right,
being able to interact with people. So any kind of thing. And then poor Connor, because she was in the TV all the time.
Yeah.
She had to do everything through her monitor, was just this big wide shot of the set. So it's pretty amazing how she interacted.
Yeah. Well, the sort of ad-libbing, it's less so much text as it is like reactions and like sounds, like,
see,
those
that's
types
the stuff
of things.
I love, yeah.
And you always cut on them so great. Like, there are like cuts to black sometimes that are just perfect, you know?
Oh,
it's the rhythm of it is just remarkable. I mean, people
super
who are familiar with your
together.
Films, I mean, it's a style of comedy that's evident in Spy, The Heat, all of your great movies, but it amped up a little bit because there's less of an emphasis on story.
Yeah.
Not to put down the show. I mean, I don't mean it as a negative.
No, but it's character
driven. It's more about
the
joke. It's more about how do we make this scene right now the most hilarious thing ever, and let's not worry about trying to make it make sense later.
Yeah, because I mean, the difference between movies and TV is like a movie when it's doing what it should do, being up on a giant screen, is you have to really walk the line. If things get too big and broad, it's just like, as an audience, like, what the fuck, you know? It's just too out there, and it's fake. Whereas TV, you just have this thing because you're not in a room full of all these people. You're kind of by yourself watching stuff.
Yeah.
So you can push things a little bit more and keep this energy, and you want that energy to kind of make it fun, and you know, and you're not going to have a laugh track, and so it just gives it this extra energy.
Which is not to say that you're not going to feel emotional about these characters, but it's a different, like at the end of Bridesmaids, you really care about them being happy. You know, you want, and some, you know, you can tear up at Bridesmaids.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Totally.
People do.
No, my big rule with anything, is just that these characters have to be real. They can be very extreme, but you have to believe that person exists in the real world. But we all have friends who are nuts, you know, but they're not fake nuts. They're real nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and what I hate is like when a performer, and I know that the performer doesn't like the character they're playing, or they're looking down on the character, or they're going like, look how stupid this character is. They all have to really be that person and love that person and love their foibles.
Yeah, I think Joel Hodgson loves being this whacked out. His brain has been irradiated.
Oh my God, he's so
but
funny.
Luckily, the part of his brain that feels pain was irradiated too, so he doesn't mind.
Oh yeah.
We forgot to mention the funniest thing about the show, in my opinion, was the food replicator is broken, at least at first, and they can only eat fudge.
Yes, when they get stranded, the only food on board, because when they have this food tank that they fill up for a year's worth of travel,
right?
But nobody checked the food tank, and so basically it's a food tank from 40 years ago,
right, right.
And it tastes terrible.
So they could only eat fudge, and so then the sister character, who's the smart one, she has a meeting, is like, look, if all we do is eat fudge, we're going to die.
We're going to die a horrible
death. And she explains the process of how their bodies will collapse due to consuming only fudge. So then Stewart pulls her aside, listen, you can't just give the crew bad news like that. You got to give them a little bit of sugar with it. She's like, were you not listening? Sugar's the last thing we need after all this fudge. Yeah,
exactly.
So that killed me. And that is what makes the show so wonderful. And I mean, the initial shtick in the first, it's basically Voyager. They get stuck and they're on the ship. They're doing a task. They get sucked out. They don't know where they go.
Well, it's all based on this thing I had about the brain theory, which is basically that our universe is like a membrane that floats around almost like an amoeba. And then there's other ones outside of it. And sometimes they collide, and there's a little wormhole opened briefly.
Interdimensional phase space.
There you go.
Is,
exactly.
I believe, what they sometimes call the brain theory, BRANE.
Yep.
And so you zoom into the next universe.
They get sucked in, and then it closes, and then you're just screwed. And but that other universe has completely different evolution and stuff, so it looks different. It's different colors and all that.
Yeah.
And they're stuck, and they keep trying to find out when the tear is going to happen again.
Right, right. So they're trying to get back through the wormhole, through the brain hole.
Right.
And so much like Voyager, they cannot communicate back home.
Right.
And that's the basic shtick. So you've now made this show available to all. Mm-hmm. It is, what do we call it?
It's un-geo-blocked.
Un-geo-blocked.
And let me tell you how hard it is to un-geo-block a show.
That seems like something you just go to the wall and unplug it and go, look, it's no longer geo-blocked.
Because other space was always, you could always kind of dig it up if you went, dug around in Yahoo, but, so I'd always kind of tweet about it, but then I'd get all these tweets back from people outside of our country going like, we can't get it. So then I kind of stopped pushing it because I felt so bad pushing it because nobody could watch it over anywhere else.
And by anywhere, you mean like Canada. I mean, you don't mean far away.
Canada's
basically America, and they couldn't even watch it.
They couldn't watch it.
Terrible.
Nobody could watch it. Yeah. So basically, when I got control of it again, the first thing I did is kind of went to Yahoo and everybody said, like, just take the geo block off now because it's mine. Okay, it took us 6 months to figure out how to take the fucking geo block off of that thing. And I got burned a few times because, like, oh no, it's off now. And so I tweet about it, and everybody write me back, like, no, we still can't get it. It's like, God damn it. So, I mean, I went through so many tests. I have friends in England who I just kept torturing. I was like,
is it working
check
now?
It now. Check it now. And finally it works. So the world can see it for free.
So you can find, the easiest way to find it is at the website called
ShareOtherSpace.com.
But if you use a Roku, as I do, and probably Fire Stick or anything, just put another space and it pops up.
Yeah, if you put other space in any web browser, it'll pop up.
Cool. So I think we did our job today and we got Star Trek fans interested in checking it out.
You are the best. Because,
well, I do what I can. I try to be a good person. And once in a while, I can now go out and steal candy all night.
There you
because
go.
I know that I committed a good deed today.
But if I can just say one more
please,
thing about it.
Please say two more things.
Okay. Oh, excellent. Good. This show was such a labor of love for everybody involved. It was not. Nobody made a ton of money on this thing. And we have such a love of sci-fi, of the sci-fi community, of the Star Trek community, of Star Wars community, everybody. Just, this sci-fi community we love so much, and we're such geeks ourselves. And this was really made for this community.
Yeah.
And, that's all we kind of cared. That's the only litmus test we put
on. It was made for you as a kid. I would imagine you read Hitchhiker's Guide at an impressionable age, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that was, and that is, there isn't that much. Sci-fi comedy is tough. There's not that much. I mean, there's Hitchhiker's Guide, there's Galaxy Quest, there's this.
And it's always made by people who don't like sci-fi because they make fun of how nerdy we are. It's like the same people that go to like a sci-fi convention and make fun of the people there. It's like, fuck you. Get out of our house. Don't make fun of the people doing cosplay. These people are awesome. I have a real hatred of that. And so that's really where this came from. Is like, no, this is for us. This is our safe place where we can laugh and have fun.
Well, Futurama is another, and the most recent Ghostbusters also is something that embraces it for what it is.
Yeah, for the fans.
It's funny. I was thinking, Monty Python, which I would imagine was something you were into.
Oh my God, huge!
There was only one sci-fi bit on the Flying Circus because I always want, like when I was getting into Monty Python, I was already a huge Star Trek fan. I had read Hitchhiker's Guide, mm-hmm. and I'm like, this is their one day they're going to sink their teeth into sci-fi, and it didn't happen. And then there was the one, the Mr. Neutron episode, and like they set it up as like, you know, the sci-fi film within the show, Mr. Neutron. I'm like, what is it going to be? This is going to be so hilarious. And I thought it was going to be something like other space, like they're going to be on a spaceship, and it's like it's Graham Chapman. In his just the cheapest spandex, and he's like having tea with Terry Jones as a pepper pot,
right.
And Mrs. SCUM, hello, Mrs. SCUM, and that's it. It's just Mr. Neutron having tea.
Yes,
I'm like, this is really, really. But that's what Python would do, is they would intentionally annoy you.
Yeah,
they mastered annoyance comedy in a way that nobody else could. So
very much so, very much. Oh, now here's another reason. Please make this show popular, because I'm trying to get it, somebody else to make more. Nobody will make more of this goddamn show. Like it's a free show. Right. Like you say to the people, like, look, here's 8 episodes of a free show.
Yeah.
Let us make more. And just something about, I don't know, it's because nobody knows about it yet.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, that's the thing. If this new push, people are going to start talking about it.
Yeah.
Is there, the whole cast would love to come back.
Oh my God,
right?
Everybody's so ready to do it again.
And how long did it take to actually shoot all 8 episodes?
It was fast. We shot, I think we did 3.5 days per episode.
Wow.
So it was really fast.
Right. Normally, and there were some special guests. Dave Franco was in there
Dave
for
Franco
a little bit.
Is a great thing.
As Chad.
Exactly. Everybody Sarah Baker shows up.
Everybody loves Chad for some reason.
Like it's the funniest. That's got the weirdest.
Yes.
Resolve. At the
I don't want to give it away.
Don't give it away.
But I will say that when I was watching it, I have friends who used to work at Hollywood.com, which comes up as a joke in his reveal.
Exactly.
And I'm like, have you guys watched Hollywood? Have you guys watched Other Space? They mention Hollywood.com. And they're like, how? And I'm like, I can't really text it to you. It's too complicated.
You just have to watch.
So I woke up this morning and my friend is like, holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, when she, like, I did not see that coming.
That whole episode is so from the brain of Owen Ellickson. It's hilarious. Resolve. When I first read that script, I was like, oh my God.
That's
kidding
some
me?
funny stuff. So, yeah, I mean, let's make season 2 a reality. First, watch this. Make sure you like it.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't like it, then.
If you don't like it, then step aside. So, but I think you will like it because it's pretty difficult not to like it. It's very, very entertaining.
And then I really want to get it popular so that we can finally have a Lego set out of us. Because my favorite thing in the world is Lego. And,
Have there been collectibles for some? I mean, Ghostbusters, yes.
Zero.
There have been collectibles for Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
For your Ghostbusters.
Yeah, yeah.
Have there been collectibles for some of your other films?
Not really, because we're not
from
that
Spy,
kind of
maybe?
A... No, we're not. Oh, well, no, but somebody did make pop figures, but they didn't sell them. They just kind of made them
They made them in-house.
Although,
like,
there is a Paul Feig pop figure.
Oh.
They only made 200, so...
really?
So where limited edition.
Where are the remaining 199? There's one on your desk.
In my office, exactly.
who made it? This is like a friend or...
No, the company. Am I getting the...
Funko Pop?
Funko. Funko
they
made
did
them.
It for Ghostbusters?
No, they did it for me. It's kind of around
Ghostbusters. Around Ghostbusters. Right,
but it's me.
I get it. That's
although
awesome.
I can tell you now that my body is Mycroft. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe they designed me with my suit and everything. And it's like, oh, that's Mycroft's body. But still, it's my head.
That's terrific. That's really... Well, you know, I would think that eventually there will be Legos and action figures for Other Space, if there's any justice in the world.
Because I love our special effects. We have this great company that did them, and they, you know, with no budget, and I think they look really great, and I love the design of our spaceship.
Yeah.
I just really, we put a lot of work
into
it.
You know,
that.
It's funny. I mean, the suspension of disbelief is real. I mean, like you said, it was done in a medical bracelet facility, and you buy it. I mean, it doesn't look as snappy as J.J. Abrams' Enterprise,
but it's supposed to be kind of, also, I mean, with the conceit of the show is they got a shitty ship.
Right, right. They're on this junk ship, and but you buy it. You very quickly buy it with a few flashing lights, a couple of green lights in the background. You're like, you buy it. So
we want to be unencumbered by fanciness.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you'll know when you're going to get a season 2.
Yeah.
This is what you'll know. If you find that someone out there on the internet has written pornographic fan fiction.
Yes.
If you can discover pornographic fan fiction, slash fiction, as we sometimes like
there
to call
go.
It, about your characters, then it's a layup.
Oh,
because
okay.
Then you know you're on the way. You've achieved a certain threshold of fandom. and oh, it's going to happen. So keep Googling for that.
Okay.
Tina and Art, maybe? I don't know.
There you go.
I don't know who's going to hook up. But
Well, I mean, Neil Casey and Connor, you know, the our science officer and the computer do... hook. Oh, wait. Oh, well, you haven't seen the
haven't
whole
gotten that far.
Oh,
yet.
Boy.
How does he just makes out with the TV?
You'll have to watch. You have to watch, my friend.
No, it's really very funny. So, congratulations on that. I do want to take, I know you got to go, but I've always wanted to, he came out in 2012.
Yeah.
Right?
Which bless is, you.
Somebody just, somebody heard me mention The Heat and remembered how much
allergic.
They laughed. No, they laughed so much at that movie that it brought.
There you
something
go.
To their nose. And
nice.
Sneeze. The Heat is great. I don't know which of your films is my favorite. They're all tied for first place.
Oh,
but,
thank you.
But The Heat is, I mean, Sandra Bullock in The Heat is just a
she's
marvelous
so funny
thing.
In it.
It's
yeah.
really very funny.
Well,
now, here's what I wanted to ask you. Because you, as I've mentioned before, and people think I'm fooling, they can Google and find a photo of you on a red carpet.
Yes.
You are a very sophisticated, dapper, and elegant man.
That's right.
Do you remember where the first showing of The Heat's trailer happened
of the Heat's
I know you
oh,
do
yes
lot.
No I it was in Austin
yes
yeah
okay now I was there now here's what's funny There's an event that happens every year with the very elegant name called Butt Numathon, which
yes.
is a 24-hour film festival in Austin, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes at these events they bring in luminaries such as yourself to debut either a
yeah.
film or even just a trailer. But because it's 24 hours, it can happen in any weird time. And
mm-hmm.
so you got there at 5:45 in the morning.
Wait, did I talk to you in the lobby?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That
yes.
was me.
I so remember that.
Okay. Now, here's why it's funny. Because you come in. It's 5:45. I and the rest of the gang, and this is Austin, Texas, movie fans, and movie sci-fi movie fans, fantasy movie fans, a particular kind of breed. Gentlemen like myself, gentlemen of size, gentlemen with large beards. And so we had been in there since noon the following day.
Oh, my God.
Eating nachos, eating chili fries, drinking beer.
Yeah.
And I had stepped out for a moment to use the loo. And when you come out of the theater and then go back in, you are hit with a wall of stench. It's just repulsive. It's just basically bearded, fat movie nerds eating chili fries all night for hours.
Yes.
So I come out, and as luck would happen, the woman who worked at the studio was bringing you in, and I knew her, and we said hello. She said, oh, have you met Paul? And mm-hmm. Paul's looking wonderful. And you're dazed. It's 6 o'clock in the morning in a strip mall in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I want to stand behind Paul as he walks in, because he has no idea what filth he's about to walk
you
into.
You know what? I kind of knew. You know what? And I loved everybody in there.
Oh, yeah. No, you were warmly embraced. And then you showed the trailer and everybody loved it. But I'm like, what were you thinking when you... Had they prepped you? They said it's going to be a filthy environment of horrors of the human odor. And
no, I've been an Anacool News reader for years
okay,
and years.
Right.
So I knew about it. I always wanted to go. I actually thought it sounded really fun. So I had mentally prepared myself. But I have to say, that was super fun because I showed 2 scenes from the movie, but I showed the tracheotomy scene.
Yeah.
That has never played better than it did with that audience.
Oh, awesome.
Because
yeah.
they so embraced the bloodiness of that scene, whereas normal audiences laugh, but they're still kind of, oh.
Yeah.
They were cheering. It was so exciting that I go like, ah, these are my people
yeah.
who actually understand how funny it is to cut a hole in somebody's
yeah.
throat and not know what you're
yeah.
doing.
Now you got to, I mean, these were people who had been in a room for, hadn't slept all night.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Were eating chili
but also
fries,
just being horror fans and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, no, it was a
it
lot
was
of fun.
Really
actually,
fun.
Come to think of it, Bridesmaids debuted at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
That was I was at that screening also with mm-hmm. Aces, and I believe you came, correct me if I'm wrong, you came out and said this is not the final cut because we're not sure, and then it played so well that it became the final cut.
No, what it was is that we were you're always supposed to say this is not final so that they can't review it, but we were the final cut. We just hadn't done the final sound mix.
Oh, okay.
But I was feeling so good about it that I basically said, yeah, you know, consider this basically a finished product. And then a guy from Variety wrote the worst review ever of the movie. Oh my God. But he was so out of his mind, this guy. I don't remember his name. But you heard that thing. It was pretty rockin'. I mean,
that was one of the most outrageous screenings I've been to.
Yeah.
I mean, just people were screaming.
It
you
just
know?
Killed. Yeah. This guy, in his look, if you would have wrote, I don't like the movie, fair enough.
Yeah.
Everything's... his review was all about there's not one laugh in this movie. And it's like, Judd actually called him, I think, like, oh, the next week and go, like, how... What is your... If you can right. sit there and yeah. say that... So,
I mean, you can say, although I didn't find it funny.
Yeah,
totally. I personally didn't find a laugh.
Exactly.
But the 900 people around me were laughing.
Exactly. But you can imagine how happy the studio was with me saying, oh, go ahead and review it. Right. The one review we get is terrible.
Yeah. Well, it all came out all right in the wash. That was a mild success.
There you go. Exactly.
So listen, we've taken up an hour of your time. It's time for you to go. You have other people to talk to.
Yes.
You are flying the flag of Other Space now. It is a property you own. You can go to shareotherspace.com, watch it on Yahoo. Watch it on any of your devices.
Exactly.
Watch it at home. Watch it on your laptop. Watch it at work when you're supposed to be working.
Totally. That's what you should do.
Yeah, yeah.
Productivity should go down.
You know, each episode's 26 minutes or so. Yeah. Take lunch.
Yeah.
Eat your lunch at your desk. Watch an episode of Other Space.
Exactly.
Get your friends to watch it. And then next thing you know, the adventures will continue.
There you go. And the great thing about this show is you can watch it over and over and over again because there's so many jokes and many little things that it's super fun.
And it becomes like music. The zings are nonstop. It really does. So I can only say thank you, and I'm going to beam you out now.
All right. Well, and Jordan, I can't thank you enough for helping me proselytize.
Well, I appreciate it. In fact, if you want to beam yourself, you just have to push button number 3 right
here. Oh, really?
Some men don't like to beam themselves. In front
I
want of others,
to be my, but, I'd like to be in control of my destiny. All right. Thanks, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.